Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano, former Army sniper, chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're about to experience the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm here, as usual, with my co-host, the great American, Chef Chris Jeswoldy. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chad. How are you?
We're running a little late today. Our producer, Jack, got, I guess, frightened would be the word. And then I messed with him a little bit when he called me. I said, oh, today's Tuesday? I didn't know. I played that game. So that was fun. And we were running a little late, but we're well prepared to talk rabbit hunting today. Very exciting. If you're part of the show and listening regularly and following me on Twitter, after Memorial Day weekend last week, I tweeted out that we would be talking rabbit hunting, and I didn't inform my co-hosts of that, and we had already discussed trout fishing as the show topic. But today, we're back on track, and we're going to talk rabbit hunting. Very excited. And hopefully Chef Chris has some wonderful recipe ideas. It better not be like some boring rabbit stew, Chef, or I'm going to have to, you know, attack you.
No, it won't be boring.
You promise?
Promise.
Because really, the only way I like it is fried. Yeah, that's a pretty low budget, right?
Low budget.
First of all, preparing it to me is difficult. It's tiny, a lot of bones. Eating it is not a lot of fun for me. I personally, I love the texture, flavor of it when prepared, but it's very hard to eat. So I'm very interested to see what you've come up with for this week. You know, the bottom line for me, you know, rabbit hunting, and there's no doubt about this. I don't. First of all, you know, I'm always preaching, try to get into hunting, you know, get out there, complete the cycle. If you're into organic, renewable foods, right, hunting is the way to go. Well, rabbit falls into that category. There are plenty of rabbits out there to hunt and eat. They're delicious. They're fun and easy to hunt within reason, meaning you could get started pretty quickly. You know, you pick up a decent shotgun. You know, practice, learn that firearm, and then you know, basically you need very little equipment outside of your hunting license to go out and start stalking some rabbits. So, you know, that's what I want to talk about a little bit today, some of the techniques and some of the things we do when hunting. You know, there's this idea that you need dogs, that you need beagles and all that. I don't have a rabbit dog. I have a dopey golden retriever, Molson. You get it? Molson Golden. And he flushes plenty of rabbits for me, you know, just running around being a dopey dog out there. Outside of that, when he doesn't want to go with me, I'll go out by myself and just walk around the woods. Beautiful. If you know where to look, it's pretty straightforward on, finding these rabbits. You know, so, you know, is it as exciting as, say, other small game hunts I've been on, especially like bird hunting? A lot of people, you know, anytime you're using a shotgun, they want to compare the hunt. So, you know, when I'm hunting rabbit with shotgun, or I'm hunting duck or quail or pheasant, I would say no, it doesn't have that excitement or explosiveness of those hunts. But there's something, you know, exciting in the fact that you're going to be moving through their terrain, and you're going to have to react quick and get on that rabbit fast with your shotgun and make the correct shot. You know, if you pick the right areas, you know, and do a little bit of scouting and know a little bit about how rabbits operate in the wild, I'm fairly certain you could bag a couple of rabbits on your first day out. I think, you know, every time I go out, I'm having a hard time remembering a hunt where I didn't come home with at least one or two, you know, usually three to six rabbits, you know, in our team of hunters, which makes for a very nice meal. You know, so it's a great way to introduce novice hunters. It's a great way to introduce the youngsters, your kids, to the act of hunting. You know, rabbit hunting isn't complicated. It's really as simple as a quiet walk. You could have the, you know, with your shotgun through the woods. Again, if you're hunting with dogs, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, it could be a little more detailed. And, you know, there's so many ways to hunt these rabbits that depending on how much effort you really want to put into it, you could have the hunt of your dreams, really. And that's why rabbit hunting, people don't talk about it a lot, but it's really popular. It's just a really easy hunt to wake up in the morning and decide, you know what, I'm going to kill a couple hours walking around, you know, hunting rabbits. But you got to, you know, it's depending on the property you're hunting, to think you could just drive up to state land and find rabbits. It's a shot in the dark. You know, where I'm used to hunting, I'm on a lease or I'm in my club, and I see rabbits all year on that property as I'm scouting. So I know their areas. I know where they live. I know where they're feeding, you know, and basically what you're looking for. And, you know, we could talk about varying hares and different kinds of rabbits, but, you know, primarily I'm talking about cottontails. You know, they're usually found in areas with good cover, you know, things like, you know, heavy grasses, clover, broadleaf weeds, soybean, wheat fields are some of their favorite places. Don't forget gardens, you know, on the edges of gardens, anything, any kind of fallen brush, dead cuts, things like that, where property owners or clubs have piled up, you know, different, you know, fallen trees. You're gonna find rabbits burrowed in those areas. And the thing about the rabbit is, you know, they're gonna live in the heavy cover adjacent to what they eat. So if you find out what they're eating, you're gonna find them. It's pretty easy sport. You know, small fields are a great place to start looking. You know, in the property I have upstate, we have about a 5-acre field, and I'll hunt the edges of this field, and they go from the field into the heavy boundaries on the edge of this field where the vegetation has grown up. You know, any place where there's been recently cleared timbers, things like that, you're gonna find rabbits. But these, what we call in hunting, what we call them are edge areas where good cover and food are available to really any animal. Even deer hunters know out there, you know, we're always looking for the edge where these deer and these rabbits or wild game in general hang out. You know, a good way also is just to scout the rabbits is to drive around. You know, I was up recently with my family, and we were taking a nice drive around my property in the area, Hancock, New York, beautiful country roads, you know, and my wife was saying, wow, you seem really relaxed today. There's no road rage. You're driving nice and slow. And I lied to her and said, no, we got the windows rolled down. I'm just enjoying. I was letting cars pass me. Really what I was doing, I was scouting cottontails. So, you know, you're driving these rural roads, and you could, you know, really, you could go crazy and use a map. You'll see them on the side, the edge of the roads where the grass is cut going into wood lines. And you'll see them if you're looking closely. And then I mark these areas and I try to tie it in. And you'd be surprised how many people, especially in rural areas where we usually hunt, are aggravated by these rabbits, these horrible creatures that eat their garden and destroy their flowers, their flower beds. They bed, you know, they live in their flower beds. Knock on a door and say, hey, I got my shotgun in the car. Would you mind if I rabbit hunt on your property? 9 times out of 10, people say yes to me. Please, I'm doing them a favor by going out there and taking care of the rabbits. And like I said, you'll have a ball. The first time I went out with my son, who's 10 years old, he had a riot. You know, just for a 10-year-old, you know, you're walking, you know, maybe you're doing an hour stalk. So you're just moving through this thick brush trying to flush out a rabbit. And, you know, for a 10-year-old, if it doesn't happen in the first 3 minutes, he doesn't think it's going to happen. So my son was walking, oh, this is the worst. We're never going to see a rabbit. How are you supposed to see a rabbit? And all of a sudden we flushed about 10 rabbits and they were going in every different direction and he was jumping over them and they were coming towards us. And finally I got on one with my shotgun and I fired, and we'll talk about the technique of actually shooting these rabbits. But I made a great shot, took down the rabbit, and I turned around and my son was on the floor, like covering his ears. And everything had happened so quickly that he didn't know what to do. And the excitement of it when he stood up, I've never seen him so excited. He was beside himself. He's, "That's incredible, Dad. Did you see? I had to jump over one. One was going to hit me. It ran right under my legs." And then I said, "Did you hear the gunshot?" He goes, "Yeah, I was scared. I fell on the floor." I said, "Come on, let's go over here." And then we found the rabbit I had hit, and he was beside himself. So, you know, it's a lot of fun when you get out there and really, you know, especially with youngsters and novice hunters. Obviously, there's some safety concerns, you know, you got to keep in mind, you got to be under control. So, you know, when we talk about rabbit hunting, I'm sorry, jump in, Chef, at any point, if you have any rabbit stories or if I'm offending you, because I know you're an animal lover and this must be hard on you.
I can live without rabbits. They're a little annoying. But my where I grew up in Connecticut, there were rabbits in the lawn all the time. Our cat used to catch them.
Right. Yeah, which brings up the point about, you know, the declining numbers of rabbits. You know, early 19th century in New York, you know, the timber trade, they had cleared large areas, and this actually helped the rabbit populations by clearing these huge areas of woods, of the timber. You had young growth, you had, you know, saplings and undergrowth coming back in to replace the trees that were cut down, and the rabbits just flourished under these conditions. So, you know, and until, you know, the 80s, early 90s, we were still benefiting from that, just this amazing ground cover for the rabbits in New York State. The last numbers I was reading, the numbers have declined. Nothing to worry about. Go out there and hunt, kill, and eat rabbits, please. But the numbers were declining for a while. I don't know where they are now. There's still, you know, a long open season on them on Long Island. It starts in, I believe, October 1st through February 28th, something like that, the end of February. And that's usually when I do my hunting for these rabbits, you know, at the end of the deer season. So I'm up in my tree stand from October 1st till the end of January hunting whitetail, basically. And through that hunt, you know, I've done a lot of scouting just being out there. I've seen rabbits. So now it's February, take a week off, you know, I relax for a little bit, and then I'm itching to get back out in the woods, and it's perfect. You know, a nice cold winter day in February, snow on the ground. You could see the rabbit tracks. It's a lot of fun hunting them in the snow. So that's usually when I'm out. Upstate New York, I think the season starts maybe a little later, or it's vice versa. Long Island starts a little later, so it starts sometime in November and, again, runs till the end of February. So, again, I'll go up to Hancock, my property up there, and I'll be hunting in February. And it's a great way to get out. And, you know, if you've been listening to the show, you know my primary joy is hunting white-tailed deer. And, you know, whenever I'm out, even rabbit hunting, I'm scouting whitetail. I want to see what their, you know, their wintering habits are. I want to try to find where they're yarded up, what they're doing in the winter. So the more you're out in the woods, you know, especially rabbit hunting, you know, I'm also scouting deer while I'm out there.
When we were kids, our cousin came up from Canada. He actually found a rabbit, like, running around in the woods and threw a rock at it.
And got it?
Got it.
See?
It was like being with Tonto.
I love that.
Like a fastball, he threw it. So accurate. Hit him right in the head.
And just knocked him out.
Killed him.
Did you guys bring it back?
No, he did.
Nice. Did you end up eating it?
No, he did.
Ah, see, that's beautiful.
It was like having Daniel Boone in your house.
See, I'll stick to my Remington 12 gauge, but I love that. Yeah. You know, growing up, that's what we used to do. She used to, you know, we'd be out in the woods running around trying to hit squirrels with rocks. Never had any success. I didn't have much of an arm. But that's great, which brings up, you know, marksmanship and what firearms use. And this is, you know, another reason the sport of rabbit hunting is very accessible to youngsters, novices. You know, low caliber rifles are a lot of fun to use for rabbit hunting. It's a little different when you're hunting with a 22 rifle. You want to kind of try to see the rabbit a little earlier and watch them and then try to take your shot with a 22. For me, it's a shotgun. It's a 12-gauge shotgun.
Doesn't that like shred it almost?
No, so, you know, that's the thing there. That, you know, some people prefer the 22 because they say to me, well, it doesn't damage the meat. When you're an excellent, excellent shot like me with the shotgun, no, it doesn't. Because, and we're going to talk about that, Jeff. We're going to, maybe when we come back from the break, we're going to take 1 minute. We could talk about that, but I'm a man who practices with my firearm. And basically, I'm taking headshots on the run with this little rabbit. You know, are you going to come across a pellet here or there in the hind quarter or something, you know, the front quarter of the rabbit? Yeah, probably. We might have to pick that out. And I'm not going to lie that I've had a rabbit stew where someone has spit out a pellet onto the plate. But that's, you know, part of the romance. I love that. I like that. You know what? It's a good time right here. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
Hey, thanks, Shaq. That was awesome. Welcome back. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, not Elmer Fudd, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Yeah, excellent. That's, you know, what's funny about that is he had the technique, man. He always found the rabbit, right? And it was pretty easy. A dope like Elmer Fudd could get out there and find a rabbit. He never had much success, obviously. Bugs Bunny was an exceptional rabbit, but he did find them, you know? And so, you know, we were talking about, you know, marksmanship and hitting these things. You know, it's someone with good marksmanship, and if you're a little bit of a woodsman, I mean, if you have some kind of stalking skills, you could bag plenty of rabbits with a 22 rifle. I know guys that hunt them with pistols. I know one guy who does it with bow and arrow. He has a long bow, a recurve bow, and he's quick on it. But I would say, you know, probably 90%, the majority of hunters find a nice, light, quick shotgun, something they're really comfortable working with, the most effective way to hunt them.
You don't know anybody that throws, like, hand grenades or anything?
No, I don't. No. I'll say no to that. That's hand grenades have been outlawed by the SAFE Act, so everyone could sleep easy now. Or I think they were illegal before the SAFE Act. So, no, we can't use those anymore. But, you know, the shotgun, because you got to think, these areas, we already talked about it, the areas you're hunting are thick, they're overgrown, a lot of briars. You're going through some thick areas of the woods. So, you know, something you're comfortable with. A lot of people say a 20-gauge shotgun. For me, it's a 12-gauge. I used an improved cylinder choke. You know, for those of you, let's not get into it. We don't have a lot of time. Maybe we could do a show about different firearms one day. But, you know, you want to use a nice tight choke to constrict the shot that comes from the shotgun. So you're talking about a smaller grouping of the BBs, you know, and regardless of the gauge action of your shotgun or the choke, it's adequate to hunt rabbits with, you know, depending on you know, the gauge of your shotgun, or it doesn't really matter. You want to use like smaller BBs, you know, smaller shot. So we're using sixes or what we call 7.5s, nice tight shot groups on this. So I could sit here and brag about what a great shot I am all day. But, you know, if I have a nice tight shot group and I'm aiming properly, I'm going to be okay. And, you know, you got to practice. That's the whole thing. There's, you know, you got to be at the ready. You're stalking these rabbits through the woods. You know, you're stalking through the woods. You're trying to be quiet. People have this concept that I'm yelling or screaming. You can drive off the rabbits too early. So you're walking quietly. Once you, rabbits are very disciplined. They'll stay hidden for as long as possible. Once you're on them, that's when they make a break for it. And once you have them on the go, that's when you got to make a quick snap decision. So you got to be ready. And what I do, and I call it, and I don't know if I learned this or if it's a word I made up. It's called snap shooting. I think it's a real term that guys use. Basically the shotgun's up and I'm ahead of the rabbit. I put the bead of the shotgun ahead of the rabbit. And I know when his nose hits my bead, it's time to fire. And by the time I fire, and again, depending on range, I might lead a little more. You know, if they're running away, I'm above his head, you know, and I know he's going to run into it. So basically, I'm waiting for these, you know, speedy rabbits to run into my shot. So I fire, they run in, and usually you see a rabbit tumbling at that point. And a lot of times, you don't know if you hit it or not. You pull the shotgun up, you'll take your shot real quick, the rabbit's running, and they do a tumble, or they jump, or they, you know, just from being startled by the sound of the shotgun. So you think you made a good shot, and you walk up to where you hit them, and there's not, you know, a drop of blood, there's no fur, there's nothing on the ground. You know, and again, that's the fun part of it. You know, the guys who hunt with beagles and stuff like that have a bit of an advantage. You know, these guys train their dogs, you know, to flush out these animals in a direction back towards them, off to the left or right. Some of these teams of beagles are amazing in locating and flushing the rabbits for you. But, you know, just to make sure we're clear here, don't run out and buy an $800, $1,200 rabbit hunting dog beagle. You don't need it. Go out there and flush them up yourself. You know, find a thick cover, drive them from that cover, and then make a good shot. You know, the way we practice when I'm up at my property, we take the clays, the shooting clays, and what I'll have my partner do is basically just roll them, you know, throw them very low to the ground and almost roll them on the ground, and I'll go and try to make quick shots on the sporting clays with my shotgun, and it just increases your reaction time, you know, to a moving object on the ground. And, you know, I'm not going to lie and say it's an easy task, but with the right shotgun, and if you're familiar and you practice with that shotgun, you'll be doing it in no time. I'd love to get you out there, Chef, shooting rabbits. I'd love to see that. I just have visions of you falling to your knees and screaming, "No, what have I done?" and hugging the rabbit and something like that, you know?
I'll shoot the little clay things.
Okay.
Why is Jack laughing?
Because you're a wimp.
Oh.
In a way, when it comes to these animals, Jack would kick the rabbits and friggin', you know, he's the guy. He doesn't even care. He doesn't want to eat it. He just kick it. If a rabbit walked in here right now, he'd probably stomp it out and throw it in the garbage pile. Not even blink an eye at it. You know, I'm only kidding. Jack is not that kind of man. And if he did throw it out, I'd kill him dead. Give it to me. I'll eat it, Jack. We'll prepare it.
You like the flavor of rabbit?
I do.
You do?
I hate to say this, but it's got to come up, right?
Tastes like chicken.
Tastes like chicken.
It's a chicken with ears. That's all it
is.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because when you field dress it, which I want to talk about real quick, and then you're taking over, Chef. I want to talk about it.
That's how I describe it. It's a chicken with ears.
It looks like a chicken. When you field dress it, so you field dress it, you skin this thing. Very easy. The skin separates with the fur very easily from this animal. It's like no other animal. I mean, once you make that incision over the spine, so what I'll do is I'll actually skin it first. I'll do a small incision along the spine, right? Up, the head's cut off already. Small incision, and I'll just run my knife back and forth along the spine. And now I'm just peeling down the skin from the neck, you know, the shoulders of the neck of the rabbit all the way down. It falls off like, you know, very simply cut off its little cute little bunny feet that you could put on your keychain or whatever you want to do with that. And then I turn it over. Now I got easy access to its guts. I'll pull it out, clean it. I'm looking for any sign of disease, infection, worms. Some of the, you know, they're ground dwelling animals. They can have some kind of a disease. So you want to be careful with your rabbits. I have killed rabbits and gutted rabbits infested with worms, things like that. So you know that meat is shot. But 9 times out of 10, you got them out cleanly, and then I hand them over to you, chef. And you know, beautiful, lean, clean rabbit is, you know, it's a beautiful undertaking for a chef like you. And how are we going to eat it? I told you, I fry it. That's all I did.
I mean, anything you don't like, just bread it and fry it. It's going to taste great.
Yeah, but before, I don't want to, I'm not going to interrupt you again. Let's make sure I'm clear here. I like it.
Okay.
The flavor of it, eating it, tasting it, I'll eat it all day. The preparation of it and the under, pulling it from the bone, to me, seems like a waste of time sometimes. I'm sitting there. I'm still hungry. I ate 4 rabbits, and I'm still hungry. And I love the taste. Kind of like eating crabs, in a way, is the comparison. I love crabs, but I get frustrated.
It's more like eating an artichoke.
Yeah, exactly. I love artichokes, stuffed artichokes. My grandmother's famous stuffed artichokes. I love them. It takes you a week, and you're not even full.
But any preparation you like with chicken, you can do with rabbit.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people don't want to eat rabbit, but you can disguise it. Like, I like doing, like, southern fried rabbit, like you do the chicken.
Yeah.
In the buttermilk with the mustard and tarragon, and then flour it and pan fried or deep fried. Nice golden brown, crispy, juicy. Or pound it out like a cutlet and bread it. That's the best way. Grilling it can be kind of dry. I mean, but it still tastes good if you eat it kind of quick. But any, like, ground preparation, I like it when you disguise it, like make a meatball or a pate or a sausage. I don't really like...
Yeah, see, now that's the thing for me, because I've only dealt with wild rabbits. First, I'm imagining they're smaller than what you get commercially, farm-raised rabbits, right?
Yeah, they're about 3.5 pounds.
It's probably about average for what I'm shooting.
4 pounds.
Yeah. So they're relatively small, you know?
It's like...
Yeah, that maybe is a little big.
The front legs are kind of useless. There's nothing on them. I use those for, like, stocks.
Okay.
The back legs, like I said, southern fried. Then you're left with the I always make a little joke when I do it in class. I show them how to break down the rack of rabbit, and you get this little rabbit chop like this big.
Yeah.
Great little hors d'oeuvre.
That's my problem. So you hand me that. I need that the size of a lamb chop.
But there's not really a lot of... I mean, the bones are like in the rib section. They're like kind of like pins almost.
Right.
So you got to be careful there. But the leg?
So as far as deboning a rabbit, is it difficult? Is it hard?
No, I treat it just like a chicken. I take the legs off first, all 4 legs. And then you're just stuck with the rack and the loin.
Right.
Separate the rack from the loin at the last bone. You get a nice, they call it the saddle. That's the loin and the 2 tenderloins on it.
Right.
That's great for deboning and stuffing. We could just roast it like that, then carve it off the bone.
Hmm.
It's fun to cook.
Now, what about things like piccata? Because you said anything.
Yeah,
like chicken,
take
right?
that loin, pound right. it. That's the phenomenal way to eat rabbit. Brown butter, lemon, tomato sauce, whatever you like.
Yeah. That you sounds
can,
delicious.
You can make like a rabbit parmesan. Now, people would love that.
I do venison parmesan. Pound out the venison.
Parmesan is good.
That's excellent. I never thought of that rabbit parmesan, yeah. Chef.
I used to do a rabbit schnitzel.
Huh?
With a little quail egg on the top. Like when you do it with veal, it's called a Holstein schnitzel.
Right.
With the fried egg on the top. I used to do a rabbit with a quail egg on the top.
Yeah. See, now how many rabbits do you need for that?
I can get 2 portions out of the loin for that.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's a big rabbit. That's a big rabbit. The wild rabbit.
No, but if you pound it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Then bread it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm, that sounds good. See, I got to get more creative with it. Usually what we'll do is fry it up. The last hunt we were on, we fried it up out in the field. We were hunting. We had a little camp stove. We had a Dutch oven. Put it over the fire. We got the oil in it. No thermometer. It was really hot. And we were basically flouring them. And just, we didn't even have breadcrumbs or anything.
We got to get on the TV Food Network with this, with Jack, too. And cook.
I know, Jack. What have you been doing, man?
I'm working on it.
Because I have the face for TV, as you guys know. No one else knows
it. I mean, I'll be in the back as usual.
No, we'll do something. We'll get you.
Me and Jesse will be
fighting.
You
wear those glasses. You look all right, Chef.
But we got to get out there and be visible. And then I'll shoot something.
Really? Is that a promise?
Yeah.
Something.
I said something.
Yeah. That's okay. What do you mean, something?
I've been learning that because I've been watching the news lately.
You got to work for the White House?
Yeah. I'll be the next paid liar. You heard that the other day?
Here he goes, getting political. See, at that note, I think it's time to say goodbye. It's 11:30 exactly. We're right on time, and unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. I'd like to thank Jack for producing and engineering today's show, and you could always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.